Prepare to meet thy God. Is the famous text from Amos chapter 4 and verse 12. It's often used as a gospel message to the unconverted. However, these words are very applicable for God's people when we come to meet with the Lord. Whether that's in our personal quiet time or in a public prayer meeting such as this. Prepare to meet thy God. So we must prepare to pray. Now, as a background to the reading that we've just read, Naomi had returned to Bethlehem, having been bereaved of her husband and her two sons. Her daughter-in-law, Ruth, the girl from Moab, now a widow herself, had come with her. It was harvest time, and Ruth went with the others who were poor into the harvest fields there to glean. Now, in the providence of God, she gleaned in the land which belonged to Boaz. And it ended up that Ruth benefited greatly from the kindness and the grace shown to her by Boaz. And then it dawned on Naomi that Boaz was a relation of her late husband Elimelech, and that Boaz was qualified to be their kinsman redeemer. And Naomi wanted to find out if Boaz would be willing to perform the duties of the kinsman redeemer. She wanted to find out if Boaz would be willing to purchase the land that belonged to her late husband, and then also to marry Ruth. Not only that the dead man's family name could continue on his inheritance, but also that Ruth would be cared for. And you can read that in verse 1. Naomi says to Ruth, "My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee?" So because of Naomi's desire, she gave to Ruth this special errand that we've read about in verses 3 and 4. And I believe that as we consider the instructions that Naomi gave to Ruth, there are lessons that we can identify and also apply to ourselves as we prepare to meet our kinsman redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, as we prepare to pray. So there's really just two main thoughts I want to leave with you, and that is concerning the instructions that Naomi gave to Ruth regarding Ruth's appearance and then regarding Ruth's approach in terms of going to meet Boaz. So with respect, first of all, to Ruth's appearance, I want you to see her cleansing. In verse 3, we read these words, "Wash thyself, therefore." Wash thyself, therefore. Now, perhaps Ruth had been busy that day gleaning in the field, and you can imagine the dirt and the sweat that comes from a day toiling in the field, especially you think of the heat of the climate that in the Middle East. And so she needed to wash. She needed to be cleansed in preparation for meeting with Boaz. Now the Bible says in Psalm 24, verses 3 and 4, "Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart." You see, we have the problem of sin. And sin defiles us. Sin pollutes us. Sin makes us dirty. And for the child of God, though sin cannot break your union with Christ, yet it will seriously damage your communion with him. So we need to be cleansed. We need to be washed. How? Well, the Bible says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." We do the confessing, and the Lord does the cleansing. And I'm thankful that the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Can I ask you, dear Christian, this evening, are your hands clean? Is your heart pure? Ruth needed to be washed. She needed cleansing. And then secondly, with regard to her appearance, I want you to notice her complexion, Ruth's complexion. Because you'll see there, after it says, "Wash thyself, therefore," it says, "and anoint thee." And anoint thee. Ruth's complexion. And here Ruth would have taken oil and applied it to her face, possibly to her hands as well, so that her skin would have a smooth, sleek appearance. Now, I don't have much of a clue about recommending skincare products, and perhaps some of the ladies would know much more about oil of ulei or whatever. But I can say on the authority of Scripture that in preparing to meet with the Lord in prayer, we need the anointing. The anointing and infilling of the Holy Spirit. Jude verse 20 talks about praying in the Holy Ghost. Paul in Ephesians chapter 6 verse 18 says, "Praying with all, always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit." And so we need the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit in every aspect of our lives, and no more so than in our praying. That our prayers would have a smooth and sleek complexion in God's sight. Can I ask you this evening, are you someone who's seeking to be a spirit-filled, spirit-anointed believer? Is your praying inspired and directed by the Holy Spirit? Ruth's complexion. And then thirdly, with regard to Ruth's appearance, there was also her clothing. "Wash thyself therefore and anoint thee," and put thy raiment upon thee. Now, Ruth probably would have put on like an ornamental dress, and this would have been the best dress that she had. This wasn't a dress that she would have worn whenever she was gleaning in the field. It would have been her best dress. And dear fellow believer this evening, as we prepare to pray, it's good for us to remind ourselves of the clothing that God has provided for his people in salvation. In Isaiah chapter 61 verse 10, we read, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the robe, he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. And that's the clothing that God has provided for his people. Perhaps there's someone here this evening, and perhaps you're plagued with doubts, or you're troubled about lack of assurance. Can I say that the clothing that God has provided is not of your making? It is something given to us by the Lord. The Bible says it is God that justifieth. So you're standing with God. Your acceptance with God is not based on your merits, but rather on the merits of the perfect righteousness of Christ imputed to you. Now that's the best clothing to have. Her clothing, Ruth's appearance. And then secondly, Ruth's approach. We continue to read Naomi's instructions. And it says there, after it says, put thy raiment upon thee, it says, get thee down to the floor. I want you to see, with regard to Ruth's approach, that she went. She went. Get thee down to the floor. Naomi had told Ruth in verse 2 that Boaz was winnowing barley tonight in the threshing floor. So that was the place where Boaz was. And thus, that was the place where she could meet with Boaz. Get thee down to the floor. What good advice this is for us. In order to meet with our heavenly Boaz, our kinsman redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to go to the place where we will meet with him. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 6, we read, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Get thee down to the floor. Perhaps that would be on your knees, at the side of your bed, or in your study, or wherever you meet with God, you need to go there. Perhaps you have heard many sermons on the subject of prayer. Perhaps your library contains many books on the subject of prayer. Perhaps you enjoy discussing the subject of prayer with your fellow believers. Now, good as these things are, there comes a point when you yourself must get down to the floor and pray. You see, Ruth went. She went to the place where she could meet with Boaz. Not only do we read that Ruth went, but I want you to see that Ruth also waited. In verse 3, as we continue on, "Get thee down to the floor," it says, "But make not thyself known unto the man until he shall have done eating and drinking. And it shall be when he lieth down that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie, and thou shalt go in and uncover his feet and lay thee down." Now, in all likelihood, Boaz had organized like a feast for his laborers. And there could have been many people who were there. So Ruth had to wait for the opportune time when she could be alone with Boaz in order to make her request. So she needed to patiently wait. Now, our lives are so busy, aren't they? Our lives are so rushed. And oft times we don't take the time to wait on the Lord as we come to pray. Waiting on the Lord, it's an aspect of prayer that is often neglected and is perhaps even forgotten about. But it's scriptural. Next time you're doing a check on your concordance or a search on your Bible, check how many times the word wait appears in the Psalms in relation to prayer and waiting on the Lord. Now, sometimes I think this time of waiting before the Lord, it's like tuning in on your radio, tuning in to the desired radio station. And we need to wait on the Lord as we prepare to pray so that we might tune in to heaven's frequency. Get on past the station of the world. Get on past the station of self-will. Move on past the station of personal ambition. Tune in to God. Tune in to hear from God. The Bible says, "Be still and know that he is God." Wonder, are you someone who waits on the Lord in prayer? Ruth waited. And then, thirdly, I want you to see Ruth's willingness. In verse 5, we read, this is Ruth speaking to Naomi. "And she said unto her, All that thou sayest unto me, I will do." And then in verse 6, "And she went down unto the floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her." Ruth's willingness. Ruth was willing to follow Naomi's instructions. Ruth had a willing and obedient heart. She was willing to obey all the instructions that Naomi gave her. And not only did she say she would do them, but she actually did them. And dear brother and sister in Christ, that's the kind of obedience that we need to have as we come to pray. And sometimes we pray, Lord, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. But if the truth be told, the reality is that we want our will to be done in heaven as it is on earth. Now, it's not so much of a problem when our will and God's will are the same. But the test comes when our will differs from God's will. And then you need to make a choice. Which one do you choose? Your will or God's will? Now, perhaps God's will may require us to leave our comfort zone. Perhaps God's will may require us to make some particular sacrifice or go the second mile. So, as we prepare to pray, we need to have that willingness that Ruth had. All that thou sayest unto me, I will do. That we would pray, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. Just in closing, I wonder, did you notice where Ruth would end up after following Naomi's instructions? In verse 4, it says, thou shalt go in and uncover his feet. She was going to end up at the feet of Boaz. Not only that, but Ruth was guaranteed to hear the voice of Boaz speaking to her. Verse 4, he will tell thee what thou shalt do. I believe that if we apply these lessons that we've gleaned from Naomi's instructions to Ruth, I believe that we'll end up at the feet of Jesus, and that we'll hear his voice speaking to us, and that our souls will be blessed as we commune with our kinsman Redeemer. May the Lord bless his word to all of our hearts.